Reading from Philippians chapter 4, and we've been focusing on Philippians 4 for a few weeks, and we have several to go. We're going to take a break from that at Easter time and Palm Sunday, which are coming up pretty soon, and then continue on in our Anxious for Nothing journey. And while you're turning, I have a couple of Bible trivia questions. The first, maybe you're a Bible historian or something. Do you know where Solomon's temple was located? On the side of his head. Just thought maybe I'd throw that one out there. These were, Gordon actually asked for these last week and he didn't use them, so I thought, well, they're still leftover jokes from last week. And you know what is brown and sticky? A stick, yes. That's one of those 5-year-old jokes, right? And that's why Gordon didn't use them last week, right? All right. In Philippians chapter 4, we have been reading about some ways of dealing with anxiety, some ways of trying to overcome that anxiousness that is so prevalent. And in Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9, he says, Paul writing says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." And then verse 9, "Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." And so putting into practice the things that we're learning about how to deal with our anxiety. Have you been able to rejoice in the Lord always this week? That's been our challenge. It's probably more than just a challenge. It's maybe one of those monumental things that we need to do. But today we're thinking of another way of dealing with anxiety besides rejoicing in the Lord, and that is gentleness. Paul says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. Let your gentleness be made known to all. The Lord is near." I remember many years ago, David was dying of leukemia. And when I arrived at the hospital, he was in those last stages, kind of gasping for breath and just out of seminary, not very many years. I didn't have lots of words of wisdom and not a whole lot of great insights, but I learned an amazing lesson that day, the power of gentleness. I watched as I sat there. The nurse went to the table beside the bed and took a clean washcloth, and she went to the sink and dampened that washcloth with warm water, and then went over to his face and just kind of soothed his dying face with that washcloth. And then you could just kind of see the peace go over him, and the breathing kind of eventually ceased, and he went on to be with the Lord. But that tender, gentle moment is something that I remember many years later. The power of gentleness, it's an amazing thing to watch. And so Paul writes and he says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all." And that's our scripture lesson for today. The question, are you anxious for nothing? Well, no, not for nothing. There are lots of good reasons for being anxious. And how have we been anxious? Well, wondering how much longer this pandemic might last, or will people come back to church when it's over, or is it going to snow again and be cold, or what do I do in this stage of my life? Another anniversary or another birthday or retirement or whatever kinds of issues, leaky roof over here on the side that is doing just fine now because it hadn't rained or snowed for a few days, but all kinds of things and family issues and concerns. And so how do we respond when we're anxious? How do you respond when you're under pressure? Our scripture passage encourages us to be gentle, but I find that's not always an easy thing to do. More often than not, I respond in anger, or maybe with hurt feelings, or maybe I withdraw some to kind of keep my composure. Sometimes I get ready to leave home at 5:15 or so in the afternoon, and I get right there to Main Street, and wouldn't you know, everybody else is going home at the same time, and I might have to wait a whole 5 minutes to get out into traffic. You know, it's not like that big city where you wait 20 minutes, but somehow that waiting in line sort of creates some anxiety, and I find myself not being gentle. But then on top of that, there's the guy behind me that's honking his horn that I should get out and get going because there was a place that I could have gone, but there are all kinds of horns honking in our lives, and sometimes we're not quick enough to respond. When folks act out in violence, and we see that in the news so many times, and our reaction is, why do they do that? But somehow we're not always so gentle either. Gentleness is one of those things that can be made known, can be evident, because it's that attitude of kindness that is shown when the normal response would be expected to be more like anger or retaliation or frustration. It's been said that gentleness is the most Christian way we can be. If you want to be a Christian, you want to act like a Christian, gentleness ought to be one of those things. It's, of course, one of the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Do Christians have a reputation for being gentle? Some do. I read this week that there are a number of peace churches are kind of labeled that, the Quakers and the Mennonites and the Amish and the Old Order Mennonites and the Conservative Mennonites and the Bruderhof communities and the Church of the Brethren. They are noted for their decisions as groups not to go to war, to be conscientious objectors. And I also read that in our American Baptist bylaws, we have a provision that was voted some years ago that if they ever reinstate the draft, that members of our own denomination can be conscientious objectors and still be American Baptist. And so there are some perhaps that are known for being gentle, and yet just because as a denomination or a group we claim to be gentle doesn't mean we are. Do I react that way? And in fact, to be honest, many wars have been fought over Christian beliefs, and many people have divided from one another because somebody didn't believe the same way I believed. And there are all kinds of divisions in church life. In the Crusades in the past, somehow we needed to eradicate those infidels, and horrible things were done in the name of Christianity. and the history of Christians in America as they have mistreated Native Americans or maybe slaves or other groups, we somehow forget the call to be gentle. Martin Luther King, known for peaceful protesting and nonviolence, was one of his main themes, and we still remember that kind of gentleness, that kind of being willing to object and yet to do it in the right way. There are all kinds of discussions about how to react to racial issues and abortion clinics and political elections, and how do we as Christians respond to those kinds of anxieties. And Paul says, let your gentleness be evident to all. If you read your Anxious for Nothing book, the chapter on gentleness, there's the story of the Russian naval officer who saved the world because his commanding officer was just about ready to push the button and launch those nuclear missiles that would have fallen on American cities. But somehow he had the ability to convince his commanding officer, let's do it the gentle way. And somehow the world is different or better, or at least we're alive today because of somebody's gentleness. Do we live in a gentle world? I believe we live in a world that needs gentleness. Whether it's a gentle world or not is probably a matter of opinion. There are all kinds of illustrations of violence and of things that are not gentle, but then there are examples, if we look, of gentle things as well, of the good things. Maybe it's the cashier that was taking care of that irate customer right in front of you. And that cashier could have responded in anger or hostility or given back what was given to them, but instead they smiled and said, thank you, have a nice day, and somehow gave kindness when maybe it wasn't due. There are all kinds of examples of that in everyday life. People who respond in kindness or gentleness or goodness. And Paul says to us, let your gentleness be evident. Let your Christianity show in this way. The Lord is near. And so as we are seeking to learn how to be anxious for nothing, there are two admonitions. The first is rejoice in the Lord always. And so we remember that we're to rejoice because God is sovereign and God is good and He's righteous. But then there's the second admonition, to be gentle. And to display that attitude that wouldn't be expected, to return evil with good. Jesus told us over and over again, when someone slaps you on one cheek, turn the other. Not turn the fist, but turn the other cheek. Or if someone forces you to carry their load 1 mile, and the Roman soldiers may often have done that to one of the Jewish people in the land, they had the power and the ability, or maybe some authority figure, you pick up this and carry that. And Jesus said, if they force you to do that, then carry it an extra mile. Or return good for evil. Is gentleness evident? Many times it is. Often so, we notice it because it sort of seems unnatural. When somebody is good to someone who is evil, it just isn't the way human nature normally responds. And so when someone's insulted and they return a smile or a have a nice day or I love you anyway, that kind of gentleness doesn't seem right, and yet that's what we're to do. Angry Christians and vengeful Christians and unforgiving Christians and violent Christians, somehow that's a hypocrisy. When we're anxious, however, we tend to react. The human nature is to react, and so to react not with gentleness but with fear. We sang the little chorus just a minute ago. Our fear doesn't stand a chance when we stand in His love. But sometimes we forget to stand in His love, and our reaction may be fear, or it may be violence, or it may be retaliation or hostility or intimidation. It's almost not normal to react to anxiety with gentleness. But that's our challenge. That's our admonition. That's one of the ways to deal with anxiety. Why do we need to do that? Paul says, because the Lord is near. And Paul may have been believing that Jesus would come at any moment, and that second coming, that return when He would take everyone with Him was imminent. And there were many times that people felt that way, and yet God hasn't sent His Son a second time yet. The Lord is still near in the power of His Holy Spirit and in His presence, and somehow we can sense the power of God's presence and the nearness. Sometimes we just come together in worship and we can sense that, or we can come on a prayer day and sense the Lord's presence, or we can feel it sometimes. But even when we don't sense it, God is near. And if we believe that, then we need to learn more and more to trust Him to help us return anxiousness with gentleness. Gentleness is one of those attributes, one of those spiritual fruits that helps us reflect our confidence in God. Gentleness is a showing that we believe God is sovereign, and that we believe that He will take care of things, and that He is able to help us in our troubles and our struggles. And so gentleness is that confidence in God. It's an evidence that we see Him as a merciful God. He's been merciful to us, so we can be merciful to others. Gentleness is a strength, not a weakness. That gentle horse, or that gentle animal that's big and strong but under control, that kind of thing. We may see a picture of Gentle Ben. I got one on here somewhere. Maybe it already went by. I don't know. But that strength that's under control, that power and that gentleness. Gentleness reflects our confidence in God. It also reflects our obedience to what God wants us to do, what Jesus urges us to do. He prayed for those who nailed Him to the cross right while they were doing that. Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing, He prayed. And He urges us to forgive and to be like Him, to be obedient. Gentleness is a powerful witness that God is at work in us, that we are Christians, or that we are seeking to live out our faith. And so, as the proverb says, a soft anger turns away wrath. And those characteristics of God's fruit in believers, love and joy and peace and patience, kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. Today, as we share the Lord's Supper, I began to wonder, how do I connect the Lord's Supper with gentleness? And then right away it struck me that on the night before Jesus was crucified, He shared a gentle moment with His loved ones, His disciples. And they gathered together in that upper room and they shared a meal together. And they began to talk about things that would come a little bit. Jesus alluded to that, but they didn't understand. Jesus shared a gentle moment with His disciples. And somehow the gentleness of that moment, I think, was so evident that we still remember it today. And Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. But somehow the sharing of a meal, and then Jesus explaining to them symbolically and yet literally what's about to happen and how God's grace was about to be given to them. And so on that gentle moment in that upper room, the Bible says that Jesus took the bread and the cup and he blessed them, he shared them with his disciples. And so today I invite us as we share the Lord's Supper, I invite you to take the bread. Let's pray together as we share the Lord's Supper. God, be merciful to us. We are sinful people and we are anxious. And somehow, Lord, we often fail to rejoice in you and we fail to be gentle. And yet the example of Jesus who shared that moment with his loved ones, that gentle moment of what was at work, even in the violence that was to come. Lord, help us to be gentle people as well. Thank you, Lord, for your body broken for us, that you gave up your life that our sins might be forgiven. And so we thank you for the bread broken for us, the body that was given. And so we praise you and thank you, Lord. Amen.